Hi, everybody. Welcome to church. Just to start with, we're going to go and go back in time. So we've got a blast from the past. I want to play you a clip, and some of you, if you're like 100 years old like me, may remember this. The $6 Million Man is an American science fiction action series where Colonel Steve Austin, who was an astronaut, had a terrible accident, as you can see, and he was reduced to a pulp, pretty much. There was not much left of him. And so they created the first bionic man, and he became this superhero of the time who could run really fast and lift massively heavy things, and he worked for the government and fought crime. So, yeah, it was just one of those crazy series that we as kids got into, but it will become a little bit clear why I've played that, but I hope you enjoyed that. So we are in the middle of a series, well, not in the middle, kind of part two of a series called Dangerous Prayers. And who was here last week for, not too many. Okay, please, if you get a chance, download the podcast and listen to the first part of the series, which was Search Me. The first dangerous prayer that was taught about was Search Me. And it was based on Psalm 139, a prayer of David. And it was, search me, test me, lead me. If you read that psalm right at the end, it's search me, test me, lead me. A dangerous prayer. But this week's prayer is, I believe, probably one of the most difficult of the series. We will be having next week, Pastor Weon will bring Lead Me, and then there'll be Send Me. That's a four-part series. This week is probably the most dangerous prayer out of all of them. Well, I think so, but maybe you might think differently. Okay, Break Me is the title of this message. Break Me. I'm sure everyone here has witnessed something breaking. Sometimes it's a clean break, but sometimes it's a shattering. And I don't know about you, but when something breaks on my kitchen floor and it's made of tiles, and my husband will testify to this, it sends my nerves into orbit. There's just something about that shattering of something on the ground that, for some of us, me particularly, I get very, it's a shock. There are feelings of shock, anger, fear, and loss. Some things are lost forever when they're broken. Irreplaceable, not mendable. Break me. This is a dangerous prayer. It's not easy. It doesn't come from the book of feel-good prayers, and it certainly doesn't come from the God will always make your life feel better version of Christianity. Some people won't like this message. Some of you have tuned out already. I hope not. Many of you won't want to pray it. It's not a common prayer. It doesn't feel good. This prayer, however, has the potential to open your heart up to the work of God in such a way that it can change your life forever. We pray about a lot of things, don't we? And generally they're the things that we think we need. They're usually things that we want. And sometimes we treat God as a bit of a genie that can just, you know, we just rub the lamp and, God, I really want this and I really want that. Sometimes our vision, however, is blurred by what we think we need and not what we really need. So let's face it, we all like comfort. I like comfort. So a prayer like Break Me is probably not going to be on my list of prayers. But let's see if you've prayed a prayer like this. Draw me close to you, God. We sing it, don't we? Take me deeper. Increase my faith, God. Make me like you, Lord. What about the one that says, whatever it takes, God? Maybe you've prayed that. I've prayed that. These are similarly dangerous prayers. But for God to answer these prayers, he's going to need to apply a bit of pressure to bring about the answer to your prayer. If we don't pray these prayers, then what's the alternative? We end up with a bit of a limp-wristed, weak faith that will never grow because it hasn't felt resistance. It's like building a faith muscle, this prayer. And that requires tearing, doesn't it? If I understand muscle building, which I don't really, because you can tell by the look at me. But we do need to tear things to grow sometimes. So we need to trust God with however he wants to answer our prayer. I've been through some heart-wrenching things in my life, and I'm sure you have too, but I'm wanting to be real so that you can see that I've walked a bit of this. Yes, I have had breaking moments in my life. I've had dreams right from the beginning of time when I was little, of growing up and getting married, having a family, and I had to work through a lot of brokenness to get that prayer sorted. And then there's financial issues that I know that we've been through that have broken us, and we've not understood what is that all about, but God has brought us through it. I've had family issues that have broken me, but I have to trust God through that. And it's in my brokenness that God will bring about what he wants to do in that situation, not me bringing about what I want. It's not about what I want. And I trust him enough to do what he has to do in those situations, even though I don't understand. So in all of that, God loves us to bits, literally. Sometimes he needs to disassemble us so that he can reassemble us into the person that we were created to be. So the $6 million man was disassembled, right? His life came to a potential end. There was nothing much of him left. But what did they say? We can rebuild him. We have the technology. Better. Stronger, faster. Are you willing to trust God to possibly disassemble you so that he can reassemble you and rebuild you? Are you willing to put your security entirely in his hands? It's been said that we impress people with our strengths, but we connect most deeply with people and our weaknesses. I'll say that again. We impress people with our strengths, but we connect most deeply with people in our weaknesses or our brokenness. But many of us are in discipleship because we want to grow, right? And we want to get rid of the junk in our lives, and we want to draw closer to God. And we want to be conformed into his image. But we don't feel safe praying the prayer, break me. The dangerous prayer. You don't have to pray the prayer. You'll still be saved. It's okay. But I want you to consider asking God to take you to a deeper place with him. Right, in order to do this, we're going to now go to a couple of stories in the Bible. So these two stories are side by side, actually, which is quite interesting in itself. They're in the book of Mark, and they are illustrations of brokenness that we can learn from. So the first story is in Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 6, and it's about a sinful woman. And her name was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Mary carried a lot of shame, and her life was viewed with disgust. She was hated by women, I'm sure, and she was abused and used by men. But here she was, in the same room with Jesus, who was a rabbi. So you've got a rabbi and a prostitute in the same room. And they were gathered in the home of Simon the leper. So now you've got a rabbi, a prostitute, and a leper together. So this is not what religious leaders did in those days. So Jesus broke all protocol in spending time with these people. And here Mary was. She would have been considered unclean. But when she met Jesus, he was a man who showed her respect, honor, and dignity. And he loved her appropriately. So let's read this scripture from Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 6. While he, Jesus, that is, was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar, say broke the jar, and poured the perfume on his head, say poured. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money could have been given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." This perfume was worth a lot of money, and it was most likely used to attract men. Most women in those days couldn't even afford perfume. So the fact that she had it, it was part of her livelihood. It was part of her toolkit, you might say, her calling card to attract attention. It was very valuable, probably worth more than a year's wages. And if you equate that to nowadays, that's a lot of money, even as a minimum wage. So some freaked out. What a waste. Could have been sold to feed the poor. They said that, but probably more likely they wanted to put it into their own pockets. But Mary, leaving her past behind, broke open the most valuable possession she had and she poured it out. In doing this, she was saying, "You can have all my life, all of it. Everything I have. And everything I am." She had left her sinful life. There was no turning back for her. The jar was broken and poured out. In one selfless and extravagant act of worship, she was broken and poured out. This was her most valuable possession. What's your most valuable possession? What's the thing that you hold most dear that you can't live without, you can't imagine going on without? It could be a material possession. It might be your home, your car. It might be your devices. Your phone. Oops. It could be a relationship. Could be your husband, your wife. Could be your children. What's something you couldn't live without? Will you give him that? That's the first story. The second story comes right after that, and the scene in this story is Jesus is having his last meal with his disciples, his friends. He knows what's coming. He knows he's going to be crucified on the cross. So picking it up in Mark 14, 22 to 24, it says, "As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, 'Take it, for this is my body.' And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many.'" Broken and poured out. Can you see the similarity? Mary broke the jar, poured it out. Jesus, his body was broken and poured out. Luke was there. He was one of his friends, his disciples. And when he wrote it in the book of Luke, the same account, he added something that Mark didn't quite point out, and so I'll read that as well. And it says in Luke 22, 19, "And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And you heard that this morning with communion. So what's the do this? Most take communion to be the do this, and I think that is definitely part of it. As we did this morning, we took communion. We do this in remembrance. We did it in remembrance of him. Do this. Yes, let's celebrate. He gave his life as a sacrifice so we could come freely to God, but also do this. Be broken and poured out like me. Do this. Be broken and fully dependent on me. Not easy. You know, there's patterns all throughout the Bible too, and I just want to draw your little aside to something that I've observed in my own life and throughout the Word and in other people's lives as I've ministered to them. And it's this little pattern. It's a pattern of birth, death, and resurrection. It's like there's the birth of a vision or a dream, and sometimes there's a death of that vision or dream. And then comes the resurrection of that vision or dream as we surrender it to God. Jesus was born into the world, the birth of a vision. Then he died a terrible death on the cross to save us, the death of a vision. Then he was resurrected 3 days later, the resurrection of the vision. We too are born into this world, then we die, and then we are resurrected. A seed-bearing plant creates seed from the living plant, which then has to die. The seed has to die so that a new plant can be born and be raised up again. So similarly, we give birth to dreams and visions, right? We all have hopes and desires, and most of the time that comes from God. Sometimes they're our own, and God has to correct that. But we have dreams. We have a vision. We have a dream of having a family, some of us. We might have a dream of mastering a certain skill, training for a career, having our own business. You might be dreaming to immigrate to a new country. I know there's lots of people here that have dreamed to come to this country, and that has happened. What's your dream? We dream, we plan, we hope, and we even pray. But I know that if you're a living, breathing human being, that sometime along the way, like me, you've experienced a loss of that dream. Where you ask yourself, was I even meant to do this? You may have taken it further and said, I can't do this. I've said that. Homeschooling tested me in that one. I can't do this. It's not turning out as I thought. God, you promised. I've said all these things. But I've learnt that it's in our brokenness that we die to our own striving, our own resources, our own selves. It's in our brokenness that we find God's grace to carry on. It's in our brokenness that we receive his strength to keep on believing. It's in our brokenness that we learn what lordship and surrender really are. Bottom line stuff. It's not easy. But then God says, great, finally you've let go. Finally you've forgiven that person. Finally you've stopped trying to control that situation. Like me, I've done that. Now I can move in, says God, and do what only I can do, so that you will know that I am God. And he resurrects that relationship. He opens the door to that dream job. He provides that visa. He brings along that husband or wife or longed after baby. Sometimes he alters the course of our life completely because he knows best. Sometimes we've just got to get out of the way. Man, do I know that in my own life. I'm still knowing that. I'm still going through it. I have to get out of the way. It's brokenness. But in that process, this is what I've learned. You can be sure that God is not against you, that he is for you, that he will never leave you, that he is in control, that he has a plan, and that nothing is impossible for him. And you're one day closer to the answer to your prayer. You don't have to live yesterday again. You don't have to believe for that day. It's gone. It's one day closer to the breakthrough. That should really encourage you. Because sometimes it feels like forever. And we don't know because we live in these time frames. God is outside of time. He doesn't look at time like we do. But he has a plan. And he's in control. Run to God. Don't run from him. He's the only one that can save you. Break me. Break me of pride. Break me of my independence. Break me of the love of this world. Break me of self. It's actually the first prayer that we pray when we first come to the Lord. I don't know whether you realize that. So those of you who know Jesus and follow him have already prayed a breaking prayer. It sounds like this. Take my life. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of all my sins. Come and live in me. Take control. When the sinful woman broke the jar, she poured it all, her whole life. She didn't keep back a single drop. When Jesus' body was broken and poured out, he gave his whole life. How about you? Are you holding something back? Many of us are partial followers of Jesus. We follow when it's convenient to us. Do you want to know him intimately? Here's one thing I take away I want you to remember. Life's greatest breakings often lead to God's greatest blessings. Life's greatest breakings often lead to God's greatest blessings. Those whom God uses the greatest are often those that have been broken the most. So maybe it's time to ask God, break me. I want to know you intimately and serve you faithfully because I trust you. Do whatever it takes, God. Break me so I can know you. Oh, Chandel. So brokenness is a process. It's a journey. It's not a destination. So you can't say, well, I'm broken now. Good, I've got rid of that. I can now go on and move on. It's a process. Life is a life of being broken before God. But brokenness is an opportunity to walk more intimately with Him. Life's greatest breakings often lead to God's greatest blessings. We're going to pray in a minute. I wonder if you would mind closing your eyes just so that you can just reflect and just block out distractions. It's all right, I'm not going to force you to pray anything. I just want you to think. Father, we ask in the next few moments that you would do a significant work in the hearts of many people. Even now, your Spirit is doing something special. So there are some people here who will be hard out, yes, break me. You've come to the end of yourselves and you're ready to trust God with the full-on break me prayer. Whatever it takes, I'm all in. If that's you and you've come to the end of yourself, then ask God to break you. Break my body, break my sinfulness. But there are those that will say, that's not for me, that's too hard. I can't handle that at the moment, Chrissy. So I want to give you a starter prayer of brokenness. I want you to have the courage to start wherever you want to start. Whatever level you want to start at, just pick your own version. And when you pray, I want you to name that thing that God has been showing you throughout this message. Whatever it is, it might be self-sufficiency, pride, lust, anger, impatience. Whatever it is. All right. Just with your eyes closed, let's just either lift up your hand or put your hand on your heart or just to make a declaration or a prayer to the Lord. I want you to pray in your heart after me. And remember, this is just a starter prayer. This isn't, it's dangerous, yes, but God is gentle. My experience with the Lord has always been a voice of gentle correction. He's not going to tear you apart. God is kind. He loves us. So just pray this in your heart after me. Lord, search me. Show me whatever is offensive to you. Father, I really want to trust you. I know this is a difficult one. Give me the faith to ask you to break me. God, break me of that. Whatever it is, just name it in your heart. I trust you with this. On the other side, I pray that I will see a blessing that I have not yet experienced. I thank you for the specific answer. Without you, I can't do anything. Break me in this area until I know that I have nothing without you. I pray that I will experience indescribable blessings on the other side. Do a deep work in me. Eyes still closed. There may be some people here who have been seeking to know God. And you know, you might have been coming to church for a long time. Maybe you feel that you're not good enough. You know, that's one of the biggest lies of the devil, is that you're not good enough to go to God. You're not like these other people. You can't be like them. That's a lie. We come to God broken. We can't fix ourselves. Without Christ, we're broken already. We cannot get better on our own. Only coming to Jesus can we be made whole. Jesus was born without sin. He was perfect in every way. His body was broken. He shed his blood as he went to the cross, that whoever will call on his name, he will be saved, forgiven, and transformed. When you call on his name, you're saying, Jesus, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I want to surrender my life to you. If that's your prayer, and you want to know Christ, and yes, it's scary because you don't know what's on the other side, but God has got it. He's good. If that's you, I want to invite you to pray this prayer after me in your heart. Just pray this prayer from your heart. If you want to know Christ, if you want to recommit your life back to Christ, pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I surrender everything, broken and poured out. Take all of my life. Forgive all of my sins. I surrender to you. Jesus, be my Lord, my Savior. Fill me with your Spirit so that I can follow you always. My life is not my own. Today, I give it to you. Thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name.